Okay, it's a pleasure to be back with you today for a special Thanksgiving Gold Nugget segment. Our featured guest, James Turk from GoldMoney.com. Well, James Turk, founder of GoldMoney.com and author of The Coming Collapse of the Dollar, How to Profit from It. Welcome back, James Turk.
Thanks, Chris. Always great to speak with you.
You know, you spoke recently talking about backwardation again, noting that this could be the worst that we've seen. Gold is just more backward dated than almost any other time you've seen looking at it over the years. Tell us why you think this is significant for the markets, please.
Yeah, first of all, backwardation should not happen. You know, gold is money, and all monies in the relationship to other monies, you know, to national currencies, depend on principally on their interest rate. And because gold has the lowest interest rate, it should always be in contango against the U.S. dollar. The reason being is that physical gold cannot be created out of the thin air like national currencies can. So national currencies can be easily inflated away, but gold cannot be. So it has the lowest interest rate. So in theory, backwardation shouldn't happen, but it has happened because of government intervention in the market. They've been keeping the gold price down in order to make the dollar look better than it really deserves to be viewed as, because, you know, the dollar is being debased, central banks are printing. This is true for the euro, obviously the yen as well, and other national currencies. They're all being debased by central bank money printing. So when backwardation occurs, it's an extremely rare event. It happened for a couple of days at the low in the gold price in 1999. It happened for a couple of days at the low of the gold price in 2008. And here it's been happening for quite a period of time over the past year and a half. And, you know, the backwardation we've seen recently, we've never seen it that deep before, which suggests that, you know, there really is a shortage of physical metal. In other words, people would rather own physical metal then take the profit opportunity that arises from the arbitrage on the backwardation. In other words, if you had physical metal today, you could sell it and buy it back in the future at a lower price, profiting that way. You avoid the storage fee because you sold your metal, so you avoid that cost, which is essentially a profit. And the third way you profit is you have the proceeds from your sale to use until you have to buy back your gold in the future. But people aren't taking that arbitrage, which suggests that they would rather own physical metal than profit from the potential arbitrage, because they see the risk of future delivery as just too high to take that risk. That's why the backwardation is deepening. As it deepens, it's trying to find a level at which people are prepared to take that risk, but so far that's not happening.
Tight supply conditions, I guess, is the bottom line here. I mean, there's just not a surplus of gold. And there's been several rumors that have been floating around the precious metals community regarding tight supply conditions, voracious demand from Asia, as well as India and Russia. Where is this demand coming from? They're already consuming more than the world supplies each year. Where does it originate? Some speculation that that's coming from the ETFs, from Western central banks.
Well, first of all, there are 8 tons of newly mined gold coming into the market every day. If that were sufficient to supply the existing demand without drawing from existing above-ground stocks, there wouldn't be any backwardation. So we know right now that the daily demand is greater than the newly mined gold of 8 tons that's coming to the market every day. So you have to look at, well, people who want to buy physical metal, they're still getting physical metal. Where is it coming from, which is the question you raise? It could be coming from the ETFs. I've read the prospectus on GLD, and I've looked at some of the other ones. GLD in particular has so many gaps and holes in that prospectus that, yes, they could very well be leasing and taking gold out of that, the vault, and just putting an IOU in its place with the intention of replacing the gold at some future date. I think that is possible. But to me, given the demand we're seeing and the flows of metal that we're seeing, I think the ETFs are pretty well picked clean. This has to be coming from central bank vaults, in my view. There's just too much metal being demanded and being shipped around the world for it to come from any other source other than central bank vaults. It brings me back to what happened in the 1960s, you know, when there was this cartel of central banks called the London Gold Pool. You know, they kept on deshoarding gold. The U.S. government deshoarded 10,000 tons of gold from Fort Knox to try to make the market believe that gold was worth only $35 an ounce, which was the exchange rate back then, when the market knew that it was worth more. And the similar thing is happening now. You know, they're trying to keep gold under $1,200 an ounce. Central banks are trying to do that. One, in fact, the market believes that gold is worth more than $1,200 an ounce. And based on all my valuation models, my mathematical models, it is worth more than $1,200 per ounce. It's very undervalued here. So it's a similar type of battle. You know, back then the price of gold was fixed. Today the price of gold is floating, but it's essentially the same. The other big difference is that we could see the flows out of central banks back in the 1960s. It was recorded, and today those flows are not being recorded. They're just being disguised in central bank balance sheets, which is unfortunate. So there's a lot of supposition as to, you know, how much gold central banks have really put in the market and what they've got left. But I think you got to be, we have to be thinking, given the size of the flows of gold over the months, that there can't be very much left in central bank vaults without emptying those vaults completely. And I really doubt whether central banks would take that step to completely empty their vault. Although a couple central banks have actually done that. You know, Australia got rid of all of its gold. Canada got rid of all of its gold, which is really unfortunate for both of those two countries. Because as the fiat monetary system ultimately comes to its logical conclusion, which is a loss of purchasing power and maybe a destruction of those fiat currencies, those two countries won't have gold to reconstruct their own new currency system.
Speaking of central banks' gold, we've read story after story now that Ukraine apparently has divested its gold, or at least it has sent it offshore, and it's been confirmed, I think, this week that most of it, if not all of it, was sent to the United States after months of rumors.
Well, you know, this is really very interesting about the Ukraine gold. It's something really hit the newspapers recently, but the reality is that there were a lot of rumors in the market back in the spring, back in March, that when the tensions in Ukraine were heating up, the gold was taken out of Ukraine and supposedly returned to the Federal Reserve. But at the same time that was taking place, the backwardation that had previously been in the gold price mysteriously disappeared, which was suggesting that a lot of physical metal was coming into the market. So my view was at the time that gold came out of Ukraine and didn't go to the Federal Reserve in New York. It went to Switzerland so that it could be put into the international gold lending and movement, the physical side of the market. Because the physical side of the market is not located in the States. It's located in London and Switzerland and to a certain extent Hong Kong. So I think what happened was the Ukraine gold back in the spring was taken out of Ukraine, supposedly told, the rumors were it was sent to the Federal Reserve, but I think it was sent to Switzerland and put in the market. And that eliminated the contango and provided, I think it was 47 tons of gold or something like that, provided some additional liquidity, which enabled the backwardation to disappear for a period of time. So, the backwardation is back, and it suggests that, central banks are running out of physical metal.
Well, speaking of central banks and money flows and capital, one of the major themes we've seen, especially over the last year or so, capital flight into the United States. And some of this is obviously the result of Abenomics, as well as QE operations from the BOJ and the ECB. This capital, the scared money, frightened money, do you see that as a potential to, I guess, reignite the inflation theme and support the precious metals?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty bullish here on the precious metals. So obviously I've been bullish from a long-term point of view and remain bullish over the long term as this fiat currency problem continues to work its way through the system and as fiat currencies continue to lose value over the long term. But even on a short-term basis, I'm pretty bullish on the gold price because we had this bottom formed at 1180, and we took out the 1180, we went down to 1130, and then we snapped right back. What gold is now in the process of doing is forming a key reversal. It looks like that break below 1180 was a bear trap. It wasn't the continuation of the correction. It was a bear trap shaking out the last of the remaining of the weak hands, hitting the stops that were below the market, and now gold has snapped back. This B bottom will continue to form if we next get above 1200 and get to, say, 1240 by the end of the year. If that happens, then I think the odds will definitely have shifted in favor that the correction in gold that began 3 years ago has ended, and that the resumption of the long-term bull market in gold will have resumed. That's what my expectation is.
Referring to money flows into the United States, and much of that, of course, directed into equities, such a broad equities market, 15 or more thousand stocks, numerous derivative products that are available to virtually any institution with deep pockets. And, there's considerable talk that many of our institutions, financial institutions, even central banks, have been redirecting billions, if not even trillions of dollars, into U.S. equities, bonds, and real estate. So this trend, you might think of it as perhaps a giant sponge absorbing much of the money or inflation that might have otherwise been directed to commodities. When do you see this theme changing?
I don't see it changing because all central banks know is print, print, print. That money has to go somewhere. But I think the stock market will continue to go up. But we have to distinguish and look at the stock market in terms of what it really is. It's not a stock market. It's a market of stocks. And generally speaking, there are two broad categories. You've got stocks, equities of companies that are involved in real assets and creating wealth from tangible assets. For example, Exxon. It's and mining companies. But on the other side, you have financial companies, banks, mortgage companies, credit card companies. I think that, just generally speaking, as a currency loses purchasing power because of money printing, and people try to find places to put that currency, it's going to go into real things, real assets, land, gold, silver, and approximations for real assets, the equities of companies that are involved in real things. A company like an Exxon, a company like a mining company, those companies, I think, will continue to do well. But I think financial companies will not. I don't think banks will do well in what I believe will be the ultimate collapse of the dollar. I expect the dollar to collapse just like the Continental collapsed. The Continental was the first currency of the newly independent United States of America. And because of the collapse of the Continental, which was the currency during the War of Independence, Framers created the Constitution in order to create a more perfect union. And one of the key elements of that more perfect union was to have gold and silver as sound money. We abandoned the wisdom of the framers in 1971, and we're living with the same consequences today as the framers did with the Continental back in the 1780s. So it's quite distressing to see that abandoning the wisdom of the framers and we're having to relearn history all over again.
As I've added before, I think they also had front row seats to the French revolutions, plural, and particularly the last that was obviously the result of horrible monetary schemes. And they tried every type of bailout, I guess we call it bailout today, and nothing seemed to work. They threw every panacea at the problem, and they just couldn't revive the economic patient. And I think our framers, as you call them, founders, recognized that this was perhaps the most socially destabilizing prospect on the horizon. They said if we were really going to try to make this experiment work, we had to have some very sound, firm contingencies in place to make sure that our monetary system was going to remain solvent. James Turk, we thank you so much today for your time. Tell people a bit more about goldmoney.com, please.
Yeah, I'm the founder of Gold Money, which is a very convenient way to purchase and sell gold and silver, platinum, palladium online, and have it professionally stored for you in different vaults around the world to give you a lot of diversification. And I'm also the co-author of my latest book with John Rubino. It's called The Money Bubble. And it actually does, Chris, get into some of these concepts that we've just discussed in this short conversation.
Very good. Well, I want everyone to direct their browsers over to at least Amazon.com and pick up a copy, not to mention that the holidays are coming. What a great gift idea. It's always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you, Chris.